Safe Space, a Marvel fic written by 42 Do Not Panic and read by
Hectic Demon as Bucky Barnes,
Flower Parish as James Rhodes,
Striped Scribe as Clint Barton,
Dr. Fumbles McStupid as Matt Murdock,
Ivig as Yelena Belova,
Tipsy Kitty as Frank Castle,
Slipping from Reality as Billy Russo,
Literarian as Peter Parker,
Semper Fiona as Eddie Brock, and
Starla Foxfire as Tim Drake,
Bubbles Cat as Dick Grayson,
Raven as Jason Todd,
Chaos Kill as Claire Temple,
Wilfriede 0815 as Henry,
Oak Leaves and Coffee as Raphael,
The Yarn Maid's Tale as Danny Rand,
and 42 Do Not Panic as the narrator. This fic is rated mature. Summary. Bucky questions why they're going through all the trouble with the heroes of NYC every day. They get an answer soon enough. Chapter 1. Yellow. Sunlight. Bucky was walking through New York City. It was a nice day. The sun was shining, but the usual June heat wave hadn't quite arrived just yet. Bucky had decided to leave the house early to get a chance to take in some of the sun before they would vanish into the bar until late into the night. They loved the bar and everything it stood for, and they loved working there every day, meeting old friends and new people, listening to stories, and laughing with their customers. But sometimes they wished they had a different job, working a 9-to-5 at an office like Matt and Foggy, or traveling the country and always following the lead of another story like Peter and Eddie. Something that didn't mean they were holed up in the same place for the afternoon until at least 2 a.m. and spend the mornings catching up on sleep, if they didn't have to deal with vendors and keeping the bar up to standards. Bucky pushed the thought away, tipping their head back and taking in the sunshine on their skin and a light breeze ruffling their favorite shirt and the plain yellow skirt they had picked that day. There was no point in wasting a pretty day like this with what-ifs, and in the end, they wouldn't give the bar for the world. Not after everything it had given them and everyone who came there to find a safe space to relax and spend an evening and simply exist. The super soldier turned right at an intersection, taking a slight detour so they could stop at their favorite coffee shop on the way. A few minutes later, and with a drink in their hands, Bucky continued along their way through the familiar streets of Brooklyn. They had changed a lot since Bucky's childhood, through the war and the several decades that had passed since they had been back here. But no matter how much the city had changed, it was still just the same at its core. It was still Brooklyn. It was still home. With a hum on their lips, Bucky reached the street their bar was on. From the outside, the building was fairly unremarkable. They had been meaning to contact a local youth group to design and paint a graffiti style mural for the outside, but it was one of those things that just kept slipping their minds. Bucky made a mental note, then shook their head at themselves and pulled out their phone to make an actual note instead. Even years after Tony and Shuri had broken their programming, there were still things that weren't the same as they were. Their memory wasn't quite as reliable as it used to be, and they were more jumpy and anxious than before Hydra and the war, and they got overstimulated more easily than they did as a young man. They were all classic symptoms of PTSD and trauma in general, but Bucky knew that wasn't all it was. Hydra had messed with their mind, and they had damaged it beyond repair. They tapped their nails on the back of their phone case, staring at the plain door for a moment. Today wasn't their day, and it was only just starting.
Should have just stayed at home,
Bucky muttered, digging through their bag and unlocking the door once they had found their keys.
I should listen to Alpine more often.
They entered the bar, using the latch to keep the door open and leaving their drink on the bar before opening all the windows to create a draft and let in some light. The bar was a bit of a mess. Danny, Clint, and Peter had been there until almost 4 in the morning, letting Bucky patch them up and fix what they broke, which was, as usual, mostly themselves.
Why am I doing this again?
Bucky muttered, pulling the hair back into a quick ponytail before starting to pick up the leftover gauze, bandages, and packaging strewn around the tables.
I've got to find friends that are less likely to bleed all over my bar.
He decided to put off disinfecting the tables and restocking the first aid cart for now, and instead opted to set up the small porch, take a few minutes to drink their chai latte in the sun, and try to get their mood up.
Good morning.
Rudy dropped into the chair next to Bucky, setting a cup of coffee on the table next to Bucky's.
Bucky's not here today,
Bucky answered, without opening their eyes.
Please hold, we will refer you to the next available bar owner.
Long night?
James asked, with a soft amusement in his voice.
Clint, Danny, and Peter,
Bucky grumbled.
They all got themselves beat up in different parts of the city, yet they all come here.
They turned their head to look at the Avenger, but squinted in the sunlight.
Why do they always all come here, James?
Bucky asked with a soft whine in their voice.
Because you gave them a safe space.
James chuckled, softly patting his friend's arm.
Really? It's your own fault.
You're part of the problem.
Bucky answered, throwing James a fake glare before getting up and collecting a box of decorations and advertisement material that Rhodey was there to collect for the upcoming Pride event at the Tower.
You're gonna be okay.
James assured them, mock seriously.
Blast some music and you'll remember why you love this place in no time.
He suggested with a wave before vanishing back into the steady flow of New Yorkers at the end of the alley.
See ya.
Bucky called after him, considering the sunny spot on their favorite porch chair again, but ultimately deciding to follow Rhodey's advice, turn on some music, and get back to work to clean the tables and stock the bar. Chapter 2. Best Friend.
Clint, Matt.
Bucky greeted while shaking a drink for another customer.
Haven't seen you two together in weeks.
Dropped Lucky and the kids at Foggy's.
Clint hummed, nodding wordless thanks to Luke when he set down two bottles of their favorite beers before casually leading his partner through the bar. It wasn't a particularly busy day, but people were sitting at most tables. In the back, at one of the biggest tables in the room, Yelena and Kate, Peter and Eddie, and Rhodey were already sitting with a drink in front of each of them.
Hey.
Clint greeted, sitting down on a free bench between Eddie and James and softly tapping the free spot next to him.
Hi. Long time no see.
Matt joked a little half-heartedly, feeling over the back of the bench and sitting in the spot Clint had indicated.
God, I hate you.
Clint groaned, brushing a kiss on Matt's cheek.
Good to see that having kids did nothing to make you any less grossly romantic.
Yelena commented, rolling her eyes good-naturedly.
We try.
Clint commented at the same time as Matt answered.
It's hard work.
Clint easily joined in the conversation going on at the table, chatting and joking with their friends. He fell back into their friendly banter easily, relaxing into the booth with an arm casually slung around Matt's shoulders and a bottle of beer in his hand. Matt, on the other hand, was uncharacteristically quiet. He was sitting close to his partner, still nursing his first bottle of beer while the others were already through their second and third drinks, and mostly just nodding along to the conversation.
Hey.
Rhodey asked after a while, softly nudging Matt's arms to draw his attention.
Are you okay? You're very quiet today.
Yeah.
Matt shrugged, sitting a little more upright.
I'm pretty tired.
Work?
James asked, trying to start a conversation.
Yeah, but also kinda not.
Matt shrugged again.
I'm kinda worried about Foggy.
He admitted after considering for a moment if he wanted to start the conversation in the first place.
Oh no, what's going on?
James asked worriedly, turning a little so he was facing the lawyer straight on.
Nothing too bad, really. He's just been pretty frustrated recently.
Matt sighed.
You know, since Raph got placed with us, everything really went surprisingly smoothly with getting certified to foster and getting a placement so quickly, and even getting Raphael settled with us and with the new school. Overall, it just all went good so far.
And Foggy's still stuck trying to even get a foot in the game.
James guessed, taking a sip of his cocktail.
Yeah.
Matt nodded.
He's just kind of stuck in this loop of, I don't even know.
He's not what they want.
Rhodey sighed and nodded.
He's the perfect candidate. He's always been around kids, he's always loved them, and given them his everything. First, babysitting his cousins and siblings as a teenager, then later for his nibblings, and now our kids.
Matt continued.
He's so good with kids, and he has the room, the time, and honestly, with how well the firm is going at the moment, even the money to change the lives of some of these kids that are stuck in the system with nowhere to go.
But he's a single guy.
James nodded, scoffing bitterly.
He fills all the boxes. He's got a stable income, like you said. He fills all the requirements and... Don't get me wrong, but if Clint and you got certified to foster, they can't pretend like Foggy's medical issues are the problem here.
Matt scoffed. He knew James was right, and he knew the man well enough to understand what he meant.
He just doesn't fit their stereotypes.
Rhodey nodded, letting his gaze trail into the distance for a moment.
They want married, the image of a happy family life. A single guy with no interest in dating just doesn't fit that.
It's just not fair.
Matt sighed, running a hand through his hair.
There are so many stupid, dangerous people out there who get certified because they can look like a functioning, picture-perfect family when it matters. And then there are people like Foggy who do everything right and still won't get the certification because they're not that.
He sighed again, fidgeting with his bottle.
It's just not right.
What isn't?
Clint asked, frowning.
Foggy not getting to be a foster parent.
Matt answered, blushing a little.
He will,
Clint assured his partner.
Because you guys are the very best lawyers there are, and you'll beat this stupid system. Because Foggy's going to be the best futz and foster dad out there, and you're going to prove it to everyone, because you're the best.
Matt scoffed, dropping back into his seat on the bench.
I know it's frustrating,
Clint muttered, placing a kiss on Matt's temple.
But I believe in you guys. If someone can beat the system, it's Nelson and Murdoch.
Chapter 3. Fresh Start. When the door opened at 2 a.m. on a Thursday, the bar was empty. The only person in there other than the owner was Matt, who was sitting at a table in the corner, pressing an ice pack to a nasty bump on his forehead and elevating his right leg, where Bucky had to stitch up a cut that had made it through his suit.
What do you want?
Bucky growled when they recognized the Punisher, and a second later, Jigsaw entering. They blocked the way, crossing their arms in front of their chest and signaling that they weren't playing. Normally, Bucky didn't like turning anyone away, especially when they were clearly injured and exhausted from a night of fighting. But this was different. It had been a few years since they had last been at the bar, but the last time, Bucky had to kick them out forcefully after they had started yet another fight with the other customers. Bucky knew that in the meantime, Frank and Billy had been out of the city for a couple of years, traveling across the states and doing God knew what.
We need a good medic, Bucky,
Frank said, mirroring Bucky's growl, but throwing him an almost uncharacteristic pleading look.
Please?
Bucky threw a glance at Matt sitting in his corner, but the other just nodded, understanding his friend without words.
Fine.
Bucky nodded, slipping out of the way and gesturing towards a table two over from the one Matt was sitting at.
Still doesn't mean you're welcome here when we're open.
Frank nodded, a weight visibly lifting off his shoulders.
What you do?
Bucky asked, studying the two men and taking in any sign of injury or pain they couldn't quite hide from the eyes of the experienced soldier.
Who'd you upset?
You don't want to know,
Matt commented, pushing his too long hair out of his face.
You really don't want to know.
Bucky sighed, rolling over the cart with first aid supplies that they had accumulated with Claire's help over the years.
Fine, I don't really care,
they said.
Everything that's bleeding first.
The two former soldiers complied easily with Bucky's instructions, letting them inspect, clean, and bandage any cuts and scrapes, and even agreeing for Bucky to check them over for any other injuries that weren't quite as obvious as the bleeding ones.
For what it matters, I'm sorry for the things we said,
Billy said, pressing the gauze pad over one of his injuries when Bucky told him to.
We were...
assholes?
Bucky supplied. They didn't like to hold a grudge. These two had proven too many times they didn't deserve the benefit of the doubt anymore.
Yeah.
Billy agreed with a sigh.
I guess that's accurate.
Look, but we get if you can't forgive us just yet.
Frank added, making Matt snort into his drink two tables over. Frank just shot him a glare Matt didn't see, but continued without commenting.
And I know that just saying we're sorry doesn't mean a lot, but I want to make up for the trouble I caused. For you, our friends, and everyone else who comes here. Will you give us one more chance?
Bucky considered the two men for a moment. They were sitting slumped together, both injured and clearly in more pain than they were willing to admit. Bucky knew both Frank and Billy were too stubborn to find help if they didn't absolutely need it, and even though the bartender didn't think that was the case in the moment, it still meant something that after all the verbal fights they had gotten into, the Punisher and Jigsaw had shown up here, injured and vulnerable, and were asking for forgiveness. Bucky threw Matt another glance, smiling softly when they saw that the young father was starting to lose his fight with the exhaustion after a long day of family, work, and less than easy shift protecting the people of his city.
Don't do anything stupid,
Bucky instructed, then walked a few steps to touch Matt's shoulder softly.
Hey, devil,
Bucky muttered, softly squeezing him through his uniform.
5 more minutes,
Matt muttered, then seemed to realize that he wasn't, in fact, lying in his bed or waking up for another day.
Sorry.
You should go home.
Bucky chuckled.
You should give them another chance.
Matt replied near silently, nodding towards the other table in a barely there gesture.
I know it's hard to believe, but they did change.
Bucky nodded, running a hand through their hair and considering their options. It could be a difficult balance to make sure that they didn't deny people a safe space they might need, while also making sure that it stayed just that. A safe space for everyone who came through those doors and into Bucky's bar.
Go home, Matt. It's late. I'm sure Clint is already waiting for you.
Matt snorted again.
He was asleep on the couch with both kids draped over him by the time I left.
Oh well.
Bucky chuckled.
Go home anyway.
Matt nodded with a smile, then finished his mocktail in a long drag before carefully getting up.
You're still on for the tea party on Saturday, right?
Matt asked at the door, smiling when Bucky agreed and pulling his cowl and mask over his head before leaving with a quick wave.
All right.
Bucky sighed, joining Billy and Frank at the table again.
One more chance. You say something stupid, you make anyone uncomfortable, you misgender anyone or make fun of the way someone chooses to present or the labels they choose to use, and you're out.
They growled.
This is your last chance. I don't care who vouches for you. If you can't follow the rules of this community, not be a part of it. And if you can't act respectfully and politely with the people coming to my bar, I don't care if you're at the brink of death, I won't let you in.
Bucky didn't mean it. Not really, but they also knew that this was the only way the two anti-heroes would understand them.
Understood?
Understood.
Billy and Frank answered automatically, sitting up a little straighter and looking a little more distant. Some things about being a soldier never leave you, after all.
All right.
Bucky nodded, going back to checking Billy for any injuries they had missed.
For what it's worth, I'll be happy if this works out.
Chapter 4. Passion.
Hey, Pete. Eddie.
Bucky greeted, throwing a quick glance around the room to make sure everyone was happy and had a drink in front of them before sitting down at the table with the two journalists. It was a quiet night at the bar, and most tables were empty, so Bucky had some time to sit and chat with some of their regulars.
Hey, Buck.
Peter greeted, waving with a hand wrapped in a slightly rough-looking brace.
Long time no see.
How's the hand?
Bucky asked, rolling their eyes good-naturedly.
It's okay.
Peter shrugged, moving his hand as much as the brace allowed.
I'm really just wearing this thing so Eddie stops nagging me.
Enhanced healing or not, you have to give your body at least some time to get better.
Eddie grumbled, protectively scooting a little closer.
Gotta take care of my fiancé.
He muttered, brushing a kiss on Peter's temple. Bucky smiled softly until the words fully registered in their minds.
Wait a second. Fiancé?
Shit.
Eddie muttered.
You weren't...
supposed to hear that?
Bucky chuckled.
Don't worry. My lips are sealed.
Eddie proposed to me when we got back to Queens last week.
Peter answered, blushing and ducking his head.
It's not really secret, but...
we wanted to tell everyone together.
Eddie shrugged.
It's rare enough that we all see each other these days. We kinda...
he softly rested his arm around his partner, brushing another kiss on the side of his head.
We just wanted to share with everyone, I guess.
Peter muttered, leaning against his partner with a bright smile on his face.
My lips are sealed.
Bucky repeated.
Under one condition.
Yeah.
Eddie raised an eyebrow, his eyes going dark and his voice taking on a rough edge as Venom crept to the front of their joint consciousness.
You two have to tell me everything that happened since the last time you guys were here.
Bucky grinned.
I tried to keep up with everything you published, but it's been a bit difficult to stay up to date with everything people have been up to outside of work. You know, I kind of miss most of what's talked about at the tables when I'm at the bar.
What do you think?
Eddie hummed, trailing his hand over his partner's side.
We spend the night at the bar. Keep the friendly barkeep some company.
Sounds good.
Peter smiled.
If the friendly barkeep is ready to listen to my rambling for the rest of the night.
You know I love it when you guys ramble at me.
Bucky chuckled.
And don't forget that I used to date Clint. No one tops his level of chaos and passion for the things he loves.
I think I know someone who gets close to it.
Eddie chuckled, placing another kiss on Peter's hair. It was getting long and curly, framing his face and going down to his neck and almost his shoulders.
Stop being sappy.
Peter complained, winding out of Eddie's hold.
I get to be sappy. You agreed to marry me.
Eddie chuckled with a bright grin on his face.
I can still change my mind.
Peter threatened emptily, taking his drink and getting up.
Come, I thought you wanted to keep the barkeep company.
Eddie rolled his eyes, but also took his drink and followed his partner.
Come here, pretty boy.
Eddie caught up with Peter in two long strides, grabbing his wrists and pulling him closer to whisper something in his ear which Bucky didn't catch.
Stop it, I'm fine.
Peter giggled, pulling his hand away.
I like your sap. I just don't want it all over me in public.
What a room.
Bucky commented, showing them towards the bar and retaking their spot behind it.
Or sit and tell me what you want to drink.
Get me that cherry thing you used to make for Lena and me.
Peter decided, finishing his beer and setting the empty bottle down on the bar.
And the sappy idiot probably wants whatever you have on draft.
I do.
Eddie chuckled, following his fiancé's example and setting his bottle next to Peter's.
And give us two shots of that tequila he likes so much.
Ed!
Peter groaned, rolling his eyes good-naturedly.
I'm not getting wasted with you tonight.
Not even a little?
Eddie asked, giving his partner puppy dog eyes.
I'll leave you two to figure that out while I follow my duties as barkeep.
Becky chuckled, setting the drinks in two shot glasses on the bar in front of the two heroes before moving to tend to their other customers.
Also, neither of you can get wasted, boys.
Chapter 5. Agenda.
Holy shit.
Becky didn't curse often. The amount of blood that was coming from the three masked figures stumbling into their bar in the middle of the night was more than enough reason to.
This is the place you go when you fucked up, right?
One of the figures asked. From what Becky could tell, he was the youngest of the three. His suit was black with a red chest, a black mask covering barely more than his eyes, and black hair that looked sticky with what Becky could only assume was blood.
Yes?
Becky asked, frowning and unsure what to say, even as their body already went into autopilot and led the way to get them to the big table in the back that they usually used as a makeshift workstation for their patients.
Who told you that?
Hawkeye?
The guy on the other side answered. His uniform matched his companion's in being nearly skin-tight black material all over, with a vaguely bird-shaped blue marking on his chest, and a matching blue eye mask and equally black hair.
He's an old friend of mine. He told me this place is a safe space for all those who need it.
Becky couldn't see as much of the third figure as they could of the other two, but something told him that the one in blue was the oldest of the three.
All right.
Becky nodded, gesturing and helping the two heroes get their partner onto the table. While they did, their mind caught up with their body, and almost from one second to the next, they were in work mode and got the first aid card from where it was stashed behind the bar.
I'm Bucky. This is my bar, and I have rules.
The two young men stared at them, eyebrows raised behind their masks.
First, you gotta tell me who you are. I'm not gonna send you away, but I wanna know who I help.
Bucky studied the three again, then leaned over the unconscious figure on the table. The uniform they were wearing was heavily armored with a full red helmet that reminded Becky distantly of the Iron Man suit. Most of the uniform was black, with the red symbol on the chest and gaping holes blown into the stomach and the right leg.
Well, I guess that's where all the blood is coming from.
Becky muttered, reaching blindly into the cart and pulling out a couple of medical towels to soak up the blood and get a better look at what they were working with before checking the patient's vitals.
Second, I'd appreciate it if you take off your masks. I know the identity of pretty much every hero or vigilante all over this city. Three more won't hurt.
The two strangers, who were standing on either side of their companion on the table, exchanged a glance that could say more than 1,000 words, then turned to Becky. The one in blue nodded, then pulled his mask off, and while the second man followed his example, reached under the collar of their jacket their injured companion wore over their uniform to unlock the red helmet and pull it off the fighter's head.
I'm Dick Grayson,
the guy in blue answered.
You may know me as Nightwing. He's Tim Drake, aka Red Robin, and this,
he gestured towards the person on the table,
is Jason Todd, the Red Hood.
We're not from New York.
The youngest of the three, Tim, answered.
We're from Gotham. We're not even supposed to be here.
His worry was clear in his voice, and when Becky looked up from working on the injury to get the bleeding to stop, they could see tears in his eyes.
Please, you have to save him. I can't lose him again.
Tim, hey.
Dick walked around the table, resting his hand on his friend's shoulder.
Clint said this is the place to go if we ever need help in New York City. He's gonna fix this, okay?
He pulled the younger hero into an embrace, shushing softly.
It's okay. He's gonna fix this.
They will do their best.
Buggy commented, with an edge to their voice.
I'm gonna need some help. First, I need you to get my phone from the counter, and I need you to unlock it.
Dick frowned, but also nudged Tim off himself, offering him a weak smile, and got the phone from where it was lying on the worn wood of the bar top. He held it out to Bucky, but the bartender just gestured with their hands and arms covered in blood up to the elbows.
I told you to unlock it, didn't I? There's no passcode on it for a reason.
Sorry.
Bucky muttered, unlocking the phone and holding it out again.
The arc reactor symbol for me.
Bucky instructed, grabbing more towels to press over the wound.
You.
They nodded towards Tim.
Pressure on this.
When Sim was pressing on what was definitely a gunshot wound in his friend's leg, and Dick had pressed the button to activate Jarvis on Becky's phone, they started talking, both hands working on cleaning up and closing the bigger wound on the patient's stomach.
Jay, I need you to call the night nurse and get her to my bar. I've got a patient with GSWs to the thigh and abdomen. He's lost a lot of blood, but somehow he seems mostly stable.
Right away, Sergeant Barnes.
The AI confirmed.
When you're done, tell Tony to delete my title out of your system or I'll come to the tower and dismantle your server personally.
They growled, nodding for Dick to put the phone down.
Anyway, tell me more about what happened and about what I'm working with.
Dick nodded. He bit his lip as he put the phone down on the free spot on the cart, but also started talking. While I waited for Claire to arrive with reinforcement, Dick and Tim told Bucky everything, even remotely relevant, about the mission that had brought them to New York City, about Jason and the effects the Lazarus Pit had on his body, and finally even about their team and the family behind it. Claire arrived, bringing sterile supplies and medication to deal with Jason's injuries, and stitching up the injuries with Bucky's help, quick and efficient, but also as neatly as she could manage.
All right.
She sighed after setting the last of the sutures and taking a step back so Bucky could finish cleaning up and start bandaging the injuries.
He took some pretty serious hits, but I think he'll be all right as long as he follows his nurse's orders.
Not he.
Jason croaked, wincing and groaning as they opened their eyes, shielding their view from the overhead lights.
What?
Claire frowned, looking first at Bucky and then at the two brothers standing on the other side of the table, where all three just shrugged.
I'm not a boy.
Jason answered, while he managing to keep their eyes open.
I know this would be way more dramatic if I were actually dying again, but I figured.
They shrugged.
You're what?
Tim glared.
I'm agender.
Jason muttered.
I'm not a guy, I'm not a girl, I'm nothing. Just me.
Well?
Dick stammered, blinking down at his sibling.
I guess you got your dramatic reveal.
Chapter 6. Acceptance.
Hey, friend.
Bucky offered a smile to a young guest who had just wandered into the bar and was now standing by the door, their hands still wrapped around the door handle.
You can come in. It's okay.
Bucky promised, leaving the dish towel on the counter and easily weaving their way around the room.
I'm Bucky.
Ich.
The kid started. They finally let go of the door handle, only to wrap their arms around themselves protectively.
I speak not so good English.
They answered, looking up at Bucky nervously.
I'm... Meet here, a friend.
You're meeting with a friend?
Bucky asked, still smiling patiently. The kid nodded, shifting nervously on the spot.
Can I ask what language you speak? Maybe that's a bit easier?
Bucky offered. They didn't like to reveal or even think too much about their past with Hydra, but it did come in handy to know as many languages as they did.
Ich komme aus Deutschland.
They answered, biting their lip.
I'm from...
Germany.
Bucky finished with a nod when the kid just frowned.
Mein Deutsch. Ist ein bisschen eingerostet, aber ich glaube, das ist einfacher, ja?
The kid nodded again, nervously scanning the room before looking back up at Bucky.
Ich bin Bucky. Das hier ist mein Bar.
Bucky introduced themselves again, frowning a little as they couldn't come up with the right words on the spot.
Willst du trinken? No. Willst du etwas trinken, wenn du wartest?
Ja, gerne.
The young customer answered. Still seeming nervous, but starting to relax as Bucky gestured to show them towards the bar.
Beer?
Ah.
Bucky nodded, slipping behind the counter and casually leaning on the bar.
Ich muss deinen Ausweis sehen, bevor ich dir Alkohol kaufen kann.
Ja, klar.
They blushed, digging through their pockets for a moment before pulling out a small case with travel documents. They filed through it for a moment before showing Bucky their passport.
Ist das okay?
Ja, that is perfect.
Bucky nodded, checking the age and reading the name on the ID.
Hast du was dagegen, wenn ich dich Henry nenne? Weißt du, was für eine Art Bier du am liebsten trinken möchtest? Glaube ich habe noch...
They checked the fridge under the counter and got out a bottle of Bitburger to offer to their customer.
Nur wenn du möchtest, natürlich.
Going by the smile on the kid's face, Bucky had guessed right that a little bit of familiarity was just what they needed at the moment.
Yeah.
Henry nodded.
Bitburger ist gut. Und, ja, Henry ist auch okay. Sorry, ich bin noch etwas durch den Wind vom Fliegen und Sightseeing und so.
Mach dir keine Sorgen darum.
Bucky smiled, nodding to the other end of the bar when another customer needed their attention.
We're right with you.
Bucky opened the bottle and set it in front of Henry.
Sag Bescheid, wenn du sonst noch irgendwas brauchst.
Chapter 7. Violet. Spirit.
Bucky!
Bucky barely made it out of the back room before two kids were already running up to them.
Hey, you two.
Bucky chuckled, catching the older of the two when he ran up to them and leaning down to pick Jackie up as well when she had toddled over.
Are you excited to do some arts and crafts today?
Both kids nodded energetically, casually holding onto Bucky as they carried them over to one of the big tables where Clint and Matt had joined Pepper, Morgan and Rhodey in setting up the crafts they had planned for the first family day. Was all part of the program Bucky and their team had set up with some other queer and small businesses all over the town that was meant to build and strengthen their community and bring awareness and positivity.
All right, little ones. I have some stuff to do.
Bucky said, as I set Raphael and Jackie down on the bench by the table.
I promise I'll spend some time with you two later, okay?
I used the seconds before the kids were all over them again to greet Clint and Matt.
Hey, you two. It's good to see you.
Yeah.
Clint answered, blushing a little and catching Jackie as she climbed off the bench and was about to run in an undefined direction.
It's been a little stressful, with Raph on summer break and work and stuff, but we're making it work.
Let me know if you need a babysitter.
Bucky offered, making a silly face at Jackie.
I love spending time with those two chaos magnets.
Clint smiled fondly, shifting Jackie on his hip.
Thanks, Buck. We appreciate it.
He looked around the partially set up event day in the bar and then back at his friend.
And we appreciate this too. It's good to have events where I know we won't get stupid comments and weird looks for being two dads.
That's the goal.
Bucky smiled.
I hope people actually show up.
I'm sure they will.
Clint assured them.
There are ads in pretty much every queer-owned business in the city. And people want this. They're craving community just as you and I.
Yeah, I hope so.
Bucky nodded, still smiling. For a moment, they were standing by the table in a slightly awkward silence until Bucky gestured towards the back room.
I've got a...
Yeah.
Clint chuckled, embarrassed.
Anything I can do to help?
Yeah.
Bucky nodded.
You can set up snacks while I get the rest of the crafting stuff.
I want to help!
Raphael jumped up, standing on his tiptoes between Clint and Bucky.
It's perfect.
Bucky nodded.
How about I show you where the board games are, and then you and Matt can set them up on the table over there?
Raphael nodded excitedly, grabbing Matt's hand and drawing his attention away from the conversation with Peppa.
Give me one moment, okay, Raph?
Matt said, turning and offering the boy a smile.
How about you go with Bucky, and then you show me where they are when I'm done talking with Pepper?
Okay.
Raphael nodded again, letting go of Matt's hand and following Bucky and Clint into the back room to get the rest of the supplies. Raphael ran up to where Bucky was leaning against the counter and talking to James.
Bucky, 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 Bucky,
Sweetheart, I'm talking to James right now. You have to wait until it's your turn, please.
Bucky interrupted the boy, giving him a stern look.
If there is something important you have to talk about right now, you can tell me calmly. There is no need to call my name so many times.
The boy made an unhappy sound and crossed his arms in front of his chest, but the mumbled apology was more than Bucky had expected.
Do you need help right now?
Bucky asked, throwing James an apologetic glance, but only getting a fond smile in return.
No, I want to show you something.
Raphael admitted.
Let me finish talking to James, and then you have my undivided attention. Hey, sweetheart.
Bucky offered, smiling softly. Raphael nodded, fidgeting with a small toy he pulled out from a pocket of his shorts.
You want to sit on the bar?
Bucky chuckled, picking the boy up and setting him down on the bar next to them.
Thank you for being patient, Raphael.
They said, then turned back to Rhodey.
Sorry, you were talking about Steve and Tony's plans for this year's party?
Yes.
James nodded, still smiling.
Over the last years, there have been a few suggestions that we should invite small local bands to play at the party, and we're planning to do that this year. So I was wondering if you could contact some of the bands you've had playing here before and see if they're available and interested.
Yeah, sure.
Bucky smiled.
Just send me the details and I'll message them as soon as I have some time.
Great, thank you.
Jim smiled, wincing a little as he shifted his weight.
I'll have Tony send everything to you tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Bucky smiled, pulling out their phone and typing a note into their calendar with one hand.
I think I already know someone. We'll see if they're still free that day.
Yeah.
James agreed.
It's a bit last minute, so we get it if you can't find anyone, but it's still worth a try, right?
Yeah.
Bucky agreed, putting their phone away again.
And it gives us a basis that we can go off of next year at least.
Yeah.
Rhodey nodded, leaning over to the low part of the bar next to him.
Thanks, Bucky.
All right, then.
Bucky said to Raphael when James had taken his drink and wheeled away to talk to Foggy sitting at one of the crafting tables with Jackie and one of her friends from daycare.
Did you want to show me, little man?
Not little.
Raphael pouted, crossing his arms in front of his chest. It looked adorable, the way he was sitting on the bar counter with his legs dangling over the edge and his arms covering most of the fire truck on his shirt.
That's true.
Bucky chuckled, ruffling his hair a little.
Did you want to show me, big boy?
I made you something.
Raphael answered proudly.
For me?
Bucky asked, blushing a little and not quite able to believe it. They picked Raphael up and set him down next to the bar. The kid reached for Bucky's hands, pulling them towards a table by the wall where the finished crafts were set up to dry so the kids could take them home.
This is for you!
Raphael cheered, taking one of the pictures made of paint and bits of yarn from the table and holding it out to Bucky. Objectively, it was a bit messy. The colors were smearing into each other and getting muddy, but it was also perfect. Raphael had picked paint in yellow and white, purple and black, and the yarn was ranging from black to gray and white with some purple.
Daddy Clint helped me pick out the colors,
he said proudly.
It's really sweet of you, honey,
Becky said, blinking back a few happy tears.
Thank you.
Raphael beamed excitedly.
Do you want to help me pick out a spot to hang it up on the wall?
Becky suggested.
So I can show everyone what a talented artist you are.
Raphael's eyes lit up immediately, and he started stimming and bouncing on the balls of his feet at the honor of his picture being displayed in the bar. Chapter 8. Rainbow. The day of the party came faster than expected. Between planning and preparing for the Avengers Pride party, running Pride events at the bar while also keeping up with the normal day-to-day, and somehow managing at least a sliver of a personal life, Bucky lost track of time for most of June. It was only with the combined power of Luke, Rhodey, and the calendar on their phone that Bucky didn't forget about 90% of the things they were supposed to remember.
You are a mess, Buckaroo.
James chuckled, all but flying around a corner in his wheelchair.
Steve and I have made the executive decision to ban you from the party area until an hour before the doors open.
Bucky glared.
You're welcome to stay in the tower. You can really go anywhere around the common and private floors. You just can't be here, or anywhere near where the party planning and setup are.
I hate you all.
Bucky said, trying to hide a fond smile.
Sure you do. Go, James chuckled, take a nap or
nodding
something.
Towards the elevator.
We got this. In the best way possible, we don't need you to be here to set up. And I think I can talk for everyone when I say that I prefer you taking care of yourself over having to do a little less of the last-minute prep work.
All right.
Becky chuckled.
I'll see you at the party. Message me if something comes up, okay?
I will message you if something comes up that we need you specifically for.
James promised, rolling his eyes good-naturedly.
But otherwise, you stay away from the party space.
Promise.
Becky shook their head, but also took the duffel bag with their clothes for the party and everything else they could need and headed for the elevator. They weren't going to admit it, but a nap sounded like heaven. By the time Becky woke up from their nap, had changed into their favorite dress and done their makeup and were happy with their hair and made it back downstairs, the party had already started. The room was filled with light and colors, chatter and laughter. Like every year, there was a colorful and diverse program throughout the afternoon and evening. It started with speeches and interviews about different topics and with different heroes, both of the literal and figurative kind. As the evening went on, the informative part of the event faded into music, first by a couple of local bands, then later by a well-known DJ, all focusing on queer and diverse music. Every single person who was at the tower that day was showing off their colors, one way or the other. It had long become tradition that almost every hero in attendance wore a modified version of their uniforms, specifically made to show off their pride flags and identities in some way. And even many guests were dressed up in the costumes of their favorite heroes, but with the flags that matched who they were and what they wanted to be seen as on this special day of celebration. But not everyone wore their suits and uniforms. Some people, like Clint and Peter, or Bucky and Loki, preferred to dress more casually or dress up in other ways, and so did many guests. Bucky lost track of how many different colors and flags they saw, even encountering a couple that they didn't recognize. And when they asked the person wearing them about what they represented and what that meant for them, Bucky earned bright smiles and excited answers from people who might not always feel seen or acknowledged, even at events like these. This was one of the other things that were important to Bucky, to offer a safe space to everyone, not just for the people who fit into the biggest boxes and use the most common, well-known labels, and to welcome everyone, no matter what they chose to call themselves. Chapter 9. Pride. Sitting on the roof with New York's heroes and vigilantes and a few of their closest friends had long become one of Bucky's favorite events in the whole year. Sure, the party itself was a highlight, but winding down in the mild air of the June night, watching the city that would always be their home, the firework display, and, most importantly, sitting with some of the most significant people in their life and celebrating Pride that way meant more to Bucky. That was what their bar was all about.
Tell me, Peter, how do you manage to end up on crutches for every single one of these parties?
Bucky asked, handing Peter and Eddie a drink before joining them on a large outdoor sofa by one of the fireplaces that were burning in different parts of the outer space.
I didn't the first time.
Peter shot back almost immediately. The grin he was wearing told Bucky that they weren't the first person that evening to point out that Peter had a tendency to show up injured at these events.
That's because back then you were still listening.
Eddie teased, leaning over to place a soft kiss on his fiancé's cheek.
You were my little spider.
God, why is everyone so grossly romantic tonight?
Then he asks, mock annoyed, and dropped into one of the matching armchairs with a wince and a groan.
Don't you have magic healing?
Peter asks, frowning.
Don't you have enhanced healing?
Then he echoed with a slightly annoyed expression.
Sorry.
Peter muttered, ducking his head a little.
I do.
Then he answered the question.
Well, chi isn't exactly magic, but it can help with healing. And so can meditation. But both of them have limits, especially over long time frames.
Iron Fist is getting old, huh?
Bucky teased, trying to lighten the tone with some friendly banter. It worked, judging by Danny's quiet chuckle and a soft snicker from Peter and Eddie a moment later.
Yeah.
Danny admitted.
I'm not quite as durable as I used to be anymore. But we do what we have to do for the city, right?
Right.
Peter nodded, wincing and squeaking softly when Eddie jabbed a finger against Peter's injury, just hard enough to remind him of the discomfort.
Ow.
Right.
Eddie hummed, studying his partner, half worried, half amused.
Hey, not all of us have an alien parasite.
Peter pouted.
I remain that you're all insane for what you're doing.
Bucky stated, smiling fondly. As much as they did think that every single hero or vigilante in the city was insane for fighting night after night, often with not much more than determination and some mild insanity, they also admired each and every one of them for it, especially the ones who had been at it for several years with no intention of stopping anytime soon. The bartender leaned back in the sofa cushions, letting their gaze wander over the roof terrace and finding only smiling faces. On the other side of the roof, Bruce and Rhodey were sitting on cushions spread out in the quiet corner around the small fire. The scientist was gently supporting his friend, dissociating a little as he listened to James talking about some of the other Pride events he had been to this month. Natasha and Maria were sitting arm in arm in a porch swing by another fireplace, with Elena and Kate on the other side, all four of them chatting, laughing, and catching up after not seeing each other while Kate and Elena were traveling the country and spent some time on the West Coast in the colder months. As in most years, Charles and Eric were the only ones of the mutants who stayed for the after-party. Magneto was sitting next to his husband, quietly assessing the situation and one arm resting around his partner, while the other hand was holding a glass of scotch he had been slowly sipping at for the past hour. Charles, on the other hand, was chatting animatedly with anyone who joined them, by now opting for mocktails or soft drinks without a second thought, and clearly doing well with the decision he had made years before. For Tony, it still wasn't quite as easy as for the older hero, but he, too, was drinking soda and other alcohol-free options, distracting himself with organizing. But Steve and he had still left fairly early when he started getting antsy and nervous. The same was true for Clint and Matt, who had to pick up Jackie and Raphael from Foggy's parents. They had a village of people behind them, but sometimes they still preferred to do things themselves. That included that they didn't want their kids to spend a night at other people's houses or in unfamiliar places, at least not just yet. Unlike her partners, Pepper had stayed, acting as somewhat of a host, even though everyone who was still there was somewhat of a regular at the tower by now. She walked around, making sure the fires were burning, the drinks at the small outdoor bar were stocked, and everyone's needs were met, until Luke and Claire stopped her, pressing a strong drink into her hand and ushering her to one of the fires with the promise that they would keep an eye on things while she took some well-earned time to wind down and enjoy the night. It reminded Bucky of the conversation about letting people help that they had had just the year before. And finally, when Bucky leaned back and looked into one of the hidden corners of the roof, they couldn't help but chuckle softly at the sight of Foggy straddling Frank's lap and kissing Billy at the same time. Both men had their hands all over the lawyer, muttering sweet nothings Bucky didn't understand, and, if they were honest, didn't want to understand, but that seemed to work with the generous amount of drinks they had all had that night to turn Foggy into a happy, giggling mess. According to Matt's grumbled complaints, this had been going on for weeks at this point, and Foggy seemed like he didn't have any intentions to stop being the Punisher's and Jigsaw's joint side piece anytime soon.
As long as it's consensual.
Bucky would say with a shrug, smirking softly at the glare Matt gave them for it.
Yeah.
Bucky thought.
This is why I'm doing it. This is what makes it all worth it.